Next on BYUSN, it is a bowl night for BYU basketball. The Cougars trying to snap their four-game skid on the road at Baylor. What's at stake, and does BYU get back on track with a win? ESPN's Sean Farnham joins the show to preview the Bears and Cougars. And does he believe BYU can still, quote-unquote, turn their season around?
Baylor head coach Scott Drew shared a strong opinion about Rob Wright. Return to Waco tonight. What do we expect from BYU's point guard in the game? And Parker Goff and Bryker Herdsman of BYU Baseball join us in studio to preview the start of the season for the Bearcats.
Welcome to BYU Sports Station, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Tuesday, February 10th. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who always plays through flu-like symptoms, Jerem Jordan.
Lindsey Vonn skied on a torn ACL. That happened.
She had no ACL.
Tom Hoel played in the NFL with no ACL on one knee, by the way, four Super Bowl rings.
Ronnie Lott chopped off his pinky finger, Tom Homo's teammate, to play in a game.
And then Kansas somehow beat Arizona without Darren Peterson, who had flu-like symptoms, which is crazy. AJ already had a flu game this year, which is interesting. But that was a wild game last night. Arizona finally goes down. Kansas looks amazing. Melvin Council Jr. was awesome. Bryson Tiller.
They've won eight in a row.
Yeah, Flory Badunga was awesome. Wow, they're crazy. Big day on campus, by the way. Walking into the building, lines out the door to the Merit Center because coming up after us, a devotional, and it is packed already. There ain't no seats for us in there. President Dallin H. Oaks, the prophet, the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, will make his first public address as such in the Merit Center where he was the president of BYU.
Incredible.
And oh, by the way, we respect him for a million reasons. But one of which is, he used to call basketball and football on the radio when he was in high school and at BYU.
Yes.
He ran he was an engineer slash a play-by-play. So we respect it. And that's literally the only thing in common we have with him.
11 years ago, I spoke with him at an event in Utah County, and he revealed that to me. He said, "Did you know that I was a play-by-play broadcaster?" I was like, "What? You were?" And he told
that
legit story. That's amazing.
I just finished his book like 2 weeks ago. Really good, by the way. Excited to hear from him today. That'll be great.
You can
watch that on BYU TV.
Shout out to BYU Parking as well.
Is this a shout out or the opposite of a shout
out? Well, it's probably a little bit of both. But just throwing this out there, don't ticket anybody in the Bean Museum parking situation.
Hey,
guest,
when I showed
the visitor
up,
parking.
Just saying.
Oh, on that note,
you're getting a ticket for
rise
sure,
and shout. Of course I am. It's time for What's Trending.
They play this hard the rest of the year. They're going to win a lot of games.
Baylor's better than Oklahoma State.
100%.
Tuesday's not an automatic win for BYU.
Baylor's playing way better.
I would say the unwelcome Robert Wright, the third game at Baylor in Colorado.
Win those games, 2-0.
BYU's not pacing well yet. There's a little bit of hope here.
Park yourself for What's Trending, presented by Tim Daly Nissan, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
They're putting a boot on, too, after those comments. It's not just a ticket. It's a boot.
I love you all. Appeals forthcoming.
Did you ever get a boot as a student at BYU?
In the Raintree Apartments parking lot.
Nice. I don't think I did. Maybe once.
Not my finest moment when I was having a conversation with said parking attendant. On that note, listen, those are all bad vibes. BYU basketball's got some weird vibes. They need to get rid of it tonight as the 22nd-ranked Cougars play in Waco against a Baylor team that's playing better basketball. BYU is only a 3.5-point favorite.
Yeah.
KenPom gives the Cougars a 55% chance to win tonight. Midweek game in the Midwest against a team you should beat. Sounds a lot like what BYU was going into in Stillwater this time last week.
Mm-hmm.
So let's dive in a little bit further, shall we? One, we live in a world where BYU's lost four straight games and they're still ranked in the top 25.
That's a great point.
Okay.
Depends who you lose to. And three of those four were two top six teams. Think about it. Arizona, Houston, and then Kansas will be like number six next week in the polls probably.
So with that in mind, BYU's still a ranked team. What are the stakes of tonight's game and result at Baylor.
There's a lot, man. Let's talk about if BYU wins. The streak is over. Uncle Momentum comes back. You stay top 20 in net. BYU 19 today. Another quad 1B win, which would be BYU's fifth. The four quad 1 wins, by the way, equal Gonzaga, Virginia, Tennessee, Clemson. They all have four as well. You're in good company there. You stay in range for a top 5 seed in March Madness.
Yes.
That would all be good. And like you mentioned, you probably stay ranked. If you lose, you may be unranked. It's not as devastating as you think because it's a quad 1 road game. It is for our standard, but it's not to the committee. I'll repeat that because that's a fact. BYU's probably still on the 5 seed line despite a 5-game losing streak. I know Lenardi moved BYU to a 6 today. Personally, for our dub 3, that'd be difficult. He's going into the unwelcome Rob right the third game. You know, emotionally, you know, the negative momentum continues, maybe a bit of disengagement. You hope to get some momentum. This is a much-needed win tonight from obvious reasons. You got to go and win this game. And, you know, you do it for Gary Bohannon. You do it for Garrison Grimes. You do it for Rob Wright III. Because there have been others who have gone there, too. Caleb Lohner and Campbell and Clark Barrington. And I'm having some fun with that. BYU's last 5-game losing streak, you saw it on the graph a moment
crazy.
Ago. Crazy! 2005? I couldn't believe that. Dave Rose and Mark Pope never had a 5-game losing streak. Granted, this 5-game losing streak different. These are all quad ones and 3 of the top probably 6 teams in the country. So it's a little different. But still, the stakes are high for a Tuesday night in Waco.
No doubt about it. Steve Cleveland wasn't the coach at BYU the year after that last happened at BYU. Our good friend. Yeah, it got weird in 2005. Now, to your point, very different layout for this current 4-game losing streak.
Absolutely.
Compared to what was happening back in 2005. But this is a BYU team that we feel is so talented that even with the difficulty of the schedule, they shouldn't lose 5 games in a row. At no point did we ever think that this team was going to lose 5 straight.
I didn't think they'd lose 3 straight ever.
Yet here we are. BYU is on the cusp of going from, okay, here's a team that could potentially make a run to the Sweet 16 in March, and hey, they've got a nice resume, to, well, they're probably relegated to a 6 or 7 seed, and all bets are off once you get to the NCAA tournament.
We weren't saying Sweet 16. We said Final Four. Like, you know
Elite
what I mean?
Elite 8,
you know,
yeah.
Like, they could make a run to the national championship.
So it is a little bit weird. If BYU wins this game, it feels like one of those turning point moments. A little bit like last year when BYU went to Colorado in a weird spot, coming off a game where they had been blown out against Cincinnati, and they were just desperately in need of something positive, and they turned it around against Colorado. Like
that was a big win at the moment.
This,
yeah,
to me, feels, yeah, like that game from a year ago. If BYU can figure it out, then you've started to turn the ship around. So, yeah, the metrics, the seedings, the rankings, it all matters. It's still early February. BYU just needs to win a game. What are the stakes? You're going to potentially a very, very dark place mentally if you're BYU and you lose a 5th straight game.
It'd be bad.
They'll come home and beat Colorado.
No doubt.
And it'll be great to retire Jimmer Fredette's jersey. Yep. It'll be an immaculate feeling in the Marriott Center. But the team will still know, oh my gosh, we just lost 5 in a row. And yeah, we came home and beat Colorado, but now we have to go on the road and play Arizona.
We needed Colorado on Saturday instead of Houston.
And it didn't work out that way.
No, it didn't work out.
But if BYU has won 2 straight before they have to go play at Arizona, there's a, correct me if I'm wrong, that's a much different feeling than having only beaten Colorado and you got to turn right around and go play in Tucson again against the probably still number one ranked team. I don't know, is Arizona still going to be ranked number one?
Maybe. Maybe. Depends this weekend, because do they play Tech this weekend? Am I off on that? Texas Tech?
Arizona, yeah.
Arizona has the toughest, like, it's crazy. We're going to talk to Sean Farnham coming up, talk about Arizona's crazy schedule. But let's acknowledge the emotional return of Rob Wright III,
yes,
could backfire against BYU. It could be a positive. It also could be a massive negative. Like the 1,000th game at Kansas in the Fieldhouse, Allen Fieldhouse, that backfired. The emotion was really hard to deal with. So hopefully tonight BYU leverages that and the team goes, hey, we win this for Rob. Like, we got to protect our guy. Let's go.
Baylor is playing better basketball. They started Big 12 play at dismal 1-7.
Yeah.
Like, just off the rails. Yeah. But they picked up a win at West Virginia. They beat Colorado at home and looked very competitive at Iowa State on Saturday.
They made it interesting late. Got it to a three-point game. Yeah.
So, does that concern you at all that this Baylor team is playing with a little bit more momentum and they're on their home floor?
Well, yeah, I think Baylor's better than Oklahoma State, so, and I don't think BYU's in any position to overlook or feel that anyone's underwhelming. No, BYU is the underwhelming team at the moment.
It's hard to win games on the road. Quad one games on the road.
Yeah, Baylor's 3-8. Like, they haven't really – they beat Oklahoma State, which BYU did not, but West Virginia and Colorado, they haven't really beaten any of the top-end teams. You know, BYU trying to get those top-end wins too. Top 50 in field goal percentage, rebounding margin, points, okay? But they're 200-plus in bench points, points allowed.
Oh, 200-plus in bench points?
Turnover margin, turnovers forced. So I do like the trio of Kamen Carr, Tunde Yesufu, and Obi Ogbim. Carr is an NBA guy. He's a top 20 prospect right now. 6'6 shooting guard. I think Richie probably starts on him. AJ might be on him a little bit. He made 5 threes against Iowa State, and he can fill it up. Yesufu is a freshman guard from Benin who's 18 a game, number one in the Big 12 with 48 steals. And then Ogbim is actually the RW3 replacement at point guard, third in assist to turnover ratio. That trio will be a handful. BYU's got its own trio that hopefully is there as well. Yeah. This will be a Richie bounce-back game, Kennard bounce-back game. Got to play better defense than you did against Houston. But the good thing is BYU, it's Oklahoma State part two, but now your eyes are open. Hey, we can't just show up and win. And even if we score 92 and AJ scores 36, we could still lose.
It feels like BYU has put together enough mental data points to be ready for this moment in this game tonight.
You would hope so.
They were not ready
for Stillwater.
It's not one
of the top-end teams, so go win this game.
They clearly, in the words of Kevin Young, were not ready for what Oklahoma State did in Stillwater. They should be absolutely dialed tonight. Like, real desperation.
If they're not, then there's a disengagement level that we did not anticipate. But that will happen.
I'm with you. I think BYU is going to show up and play with some incredible ferocity and straight-up desperation.
Need it.
Baylor is like BYU in that they rely heavily on the three that you mentioned. All good players. Baylor had three of their starting five play every single minute of the game against Iowa State. They have no bench, just like BYU has relatively little bench.
Kevin Young acknowledged as much and said, maybe we ought to do that. Like, maybe BYU plays its guys a little more. We'll see.
You're asking
we'll talk
for
about it in
more.
A second.
You're not trying to be as situational in the substitutions.
And it's 5 days until the next game.
Listen, everything's on the table right now.
Just got to win.
BYU, not a gambling school, not a gambling program, religion. But the Jolly Ranchers are all in the middle of the table.
I ate a bunch of Jolly Ranchers last night, actually.
They're all in the middle of the table. There aren't that many that BYU has right now, but they pushed everything into the center for this game against Baylor.
Favorite flavor?
Watermelon for me.
Ooh, I like green apple.
Green apple is also delicious.
Yeah.
You got a few of those on the table. Chips are in.
I could have brought them. I have a bag.
Have to have a win tonight. Mm-hmm. Like, all in for this game against Baylor by necessity. So let's go.
And if BYU loses, quad one loss. We don't want it.
Then it's like, is Lenardi going to put BYU on the 7 seed line?
No. The resume doesn't say that.
Our question of the day.
Just win, though.
Would a win over Baylor put BYU back on track? At Cougar Stats chimes in. Jerem, what did he say?
No, but it would stop a full derailment from happening. That's a good train reference off a train reference. So, yeah, I like that.
Okay. It's Unstoppable, underrated movie with Denzel Washington. Oh. Train's going a little too fast, big curves coming up.
A little. How about Speed with Keanu Reeves?
Keep it on the track.
Yeah.
Yes, keep it on the track. At Bear Witness 47. Nice. Love that handle. Nah, but a W is a W. A win over a ranked opponent would put them back on track.
So, Arizona, Iowa State, Texas Tech is what we're talking about in the final eight. Right?
They have ample opportunities still moving forward, and two of those on their home floor.
Quad 1B opportunity tonight. Let's go.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Yesterday in his media avail, Baylor head coach Scott Drew was asked about the return of Baylor, former Baylor and current BYU point guard, Rob Wright III.
Rob, when he played here, a lot of good memories. Obviously, it's hard anytime people leave your program, but that happens more and more. You prefer it to be not after they sign a contract with you, but it is what it is.
Okay.
Pulling back the curtain a little bit.
Last little line there. What do you expect from Rob and the environment in tonight's game?
I don't think Rob is as impacted by this as probably Baylor fans are, and then the BYU fans responding to how Baylor is assessing this situation. I think this is, like,
I only have Oklahoma State fans in my DMs and replies right now. I don't know what you're talking about.
I honestly don't think Rob is that concerned about that element. Now, that might change when the boos start to rain down in Waco tonight. I asked him about it after the game against Houston on Saturday night. Hey, you know Waco? There's some history there. What do you anticipate? And he's like, look, I'm just trying to get a win. We need to win a game. Like, that is my primary focus. And in that moment, I believed him. How will he feel when the inevitable boos start to ring forth and they are targeting him in that regard?
Just pop open an ice-cold Dr. Pepper and just down it and just embrace Waco one last time.
They might boo him every time he touches the ball tonight.
Mark Cucurella of Chelsea, every time he gets the ball, he gets booed. That might happen tonight with Rob. It happens.
Frankly,
you know what undoes that?
Might motivate
a couple
him.
Of made threes.
Exactly.
Yep.
It might
a
actually
steal,
motivate him.
Yep. Maybe he'll be even more engaged. I mean, this could go either way. I don't see any middle ground with this situation with Rob tonight. It's either he goes off or it's not great.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram again as we continue our conversation between BYU and Baylor. What do we expect from him tonight? Jeremy, I expect him to do what he's usually done, which is, I don't know, 15 points, 4 or 5 assists. He'll be an impactful player tonight for BYU, and maybe he'll play every minute.
Maybe. He's been playing like 37 minutes a bunch of times. I need Richie and Kennard to knock down some threes tonight so that his assist number is up. He only had one Saturday because those guys weren't making shots. So let's go.
Yesterday, in Kevin Young's media availability session, he was asked about the lack of production from the bench this season, and we've alluded to it a little bit. He had this to say.
Call it for what it is. You know, we need another guard to step up. You know, we miss Dawson. We miss Nate Pickens. Brody would have had a shot to come in and play because he can make shots. And so, yeah, I mean, we miss those guys. I've never been on a team where three guys have gotten hurt for the entire, you know, and been out for the year. That's the cards we've been dealt, and it's my job to figure out and build up somebody off the bench that can come in and give us a little bit of scoring. You know, the hard part is the skill sets that are coming off the bench aren't necessarily exactly what we need. You know, I think having another sort of ball-in-hand guy who can do a little bit of everything is probably what we need more than anything, but we don't have that.
Let's decipher those comments, Jerem. What do you make of what Kevin Young said there in regard to the bench production and the injuries that have clearly hurt BYU?
We've been talking about this the last couple of weeks, like acknowledging, Dawson, Nate, and Brody's injuries were significant. We don't know what we were going to get from Nate and Brody. We like the idea of Nate being a backup point guard defender and then Brody being like a stretch four that can rebound and shoot three. BYU could really use that.
Brody's a shot maker.
Yeah, and we still look forward to Brody's career at BYU. Dawson Baker can come back next year if he wants, according to the criteria, according to Brandon Dunson last week on BYU Basketball with Kevin Young, which is great news. Dawson Baker could have really helped BYU this year, and it's disappointing.
He was shooting the three well when he got injured, too. I know he's only averaging 7.5 points a game, but how big would those 7.5 points per game be?
Big. And if, you know, you wanted, you could switch him into the starting lineup and bring Kennard off the bench. You don't even have that option, really, right now. Because you bring Boop in, but you lose kind of a little bit from Kennard or what? I don't know. That's the only card that feels like Kevin can play right now because Kostic comes in and you want him to defend and knock down a shot. Russ, you know, we'd love to have him make threes. It's not happening. So he's acknowledging the elephant in the room. He's always good about, let's just talk about what is seemingly uncomfortable. Yeah, we don't have that guy right now. We don't have the skill set that we need to come in. So they've got to figure it out. And it might just be like, okay, starters, you got to do stuff. Right now, to me, the missing element is Kennard and Kaba. If those guys just play normal, I feel great about BYU being like a 5 seed in March Madness, getting to the Sweet 16, and then maybe they win that next game, they're in the Elite Eight. But those guys have really struggled the last couple of weeks.
Let's define normal for those that don't know what Kennard and Kaba can do on average. Okay.
What's Kaba like? He's like a 7 and 8 guy.
6 to 8 points a game and 6 to 8 rebounds a game.
And then Kennard. Yeah, Kennard is make a 3 or 2. Give me 7 points. Play great defense.
Averages.
That's all I'm talking
just,
about.
Just some bare minimum averages.
Well, let's not say bare minimum today, but yeah.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit more than that. Okay. Fair enough.
Number 22, BYU men's basketball looks to snap a 4-game losing streak tonight at Baylor in the unwelcome Rob Wright III game in Waco.
Great
picture. Come on, Cokes. Need it. He's just fighting through arms.
That's great picture for
that's us. Houston defense for you, dude. They are tough, man.
When we return, ESPN's Sean Farnham goes one-on-one with Jerem to talk the Cougars and Bears. What does he see for BYU in their final 8 games, and would they get it turned around officially tonight if they win in Waco? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Right? That would be great.
BYU can absolutely still turn it around. The key is those guys.
Yeah.
Rebounding, effort, getting a few more buckets around the rim. We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And it's that time of week that our good friend Sean Farnham gets back on the program.
Absolutely. He called Iowa State Baylor, Baylor's last game Saturday, and I spoke this morning with ESPN's Sean Farnham about the matchup with the Cougars and Bears tonight and if he thinks BYU can still turn this thing around. Sean, BYU has a 4-game losing streak, its longest in several years, yet you look at who BYU's played. It's 3 of the top, 5 or 6 teams in the country. What do you make of what's going on with Cougar hoops right now?
Okay, that's convenient that you say that. Do we forget about that one loss that happened in that mix? That's not one of the top teams
squad
in the
one
country
loss, yeah.
In Oklahoma State. Okay, but like this is not a great. That's not a great team. All right, so let's just be honest. I think there's reason to be concerned, and the slow start again at Oklahoma State reared its ugly head. They came out slow, and then they responded, and then it was tied at halftime. And I was like, oh well, clearly they're going to win this game now. It's 41-41 at halftime. And then they came out and they allowed an opponent to continue to gain momentum on the offensive end of the floor, shoot like 60% from the field during the course of the game. And that just shows you a lack of understanding of how they needed to dig deep and get the stops. And when you're on the road, like you look at the top teams in the country, when they go on the road, it's usually their defense, and the top teams that went on the road, it's because of their defense, not because of their offense. If I would have told you before the start of that Oklahoma State game that BYU would score 92 points, you would say they won the game by what, 30? 25? But the problem is you gave up 99. And so there's a reason to be concerned there. Then you look at the game against Houston, and honestly, a very winnable game with the way that game played out. And Davis and Saunders go 2 of 12 from the 3-point line. I think he missed 11 or 12 free throws. Then you look at Kevakada going 1 for 6 from the field, missing easy ones around the basket. That's the difference of winning and losing. And so, yes, the quality of opponent has been great. And the Big 12, the quality of opponent's always going to be great. But you have to be able to execute, whether it's offensively or defensively, at a level to win a national championship, to go to a Final Four, to advance to the Sweet 16, to get a top seed in this conference this year. You have to compete at a championship and elite level over the course of your season, game in and game out, minute by minute, and put 40 minutes and deposit a great 40 minutes in the bank, and then make a withdrawal the next day and say, how do we do? And right now, those deposits that they're making at practice, the effort that they're showing at practice, and from all intents and purposes, they're doing everything Kevin Young wants them to do at practice. When the game starts, those deposits and the withdrawal that you expect aren't happening. And there needs to be a more higher sense of urgency, especially with their upcoming schedule.
Are new expectations fair or unfair to BYU, given that preseason with all of the talent, the number one player potentially in the country, and A.J. DeBonta and whatnot, I think Cougar fans wanted a 1, 2, 3, maybe a 4 seed. Now they're sitting on the 6 seed line with Lenardi. A lot of places coming to that 5 seed line. Is it fair to have new expectations, or should Cougar Nation continue to hold the standard of, no, they've got to get a top four seed?
I don't think a top four seed necessarily based on schedule and how they've played is necessarily falling in alignment right now. And I would say that that shouldn't change your postseason expectation, but it is a reality of what is going on. I mean, we talked about this last week when I came on the program. KenPom had you at 6-4. Well, part of that 6-4 was getting a win at Oklahoma State. And now you've taken a loss there. So now with the upcoming schedule, I would say that this Baylor game isn't necessarily a foregone conclusion. Baylor's playing very well. I just saw them against Iowa State. This is a team that's starting to figure out how they have to play in order to be successful. They're long, they're athletic. They like to attack off the bounce. And you look at teams that have caused issues for BYU, it's teams that can drive the basketball on a consistent basis. And that's exactly what this Baylor team can do. And they can apply pressure at the rim and get their interior presence in foul trouble with those drives. And so I think that that's, you know, it's got to be just checking off one box at a time. If BYU fans are worried about seeding will take care of itself. But it's about, okay, Baylor, BYU, go. How well are you going to play? Can you go get a win in Foster Pavilion? Can you execute the way that you need to? Is everybody going to show up and fulfill their role? And I've talked about this, the need to be a star in your role. And that's where BYU is right now. And there's plenty of time. And we've seen this year in and year out. There's time to grow as the season goes along. You are not a finished product. And when you're a finished product is when you take that loss in the NCAA tournament. That's when you're a finished product. There was a team I was on at UCLA. We were 13-11. And looked like we're going to the NIT. We ran off six straight games. We beat number one Stanford on their home floor. We went to the Sweet 16. And all of a sudden, everybody else felt different about the season than what it actually was.
And that's what BYU did last year. A year ago today, BYU was 6-6 in the Big 12. Sound familiar? Number 41 in net, not 20 where BYU's at. And then BYU won eight straight games. I'm not convinced they're going to win eight straight games, but in the final eight games, what's a record that you feel like would be a, quote, turnaround, the season moment for BYU in the final eight?
5-3.
Any thoughts on the means of that 5-3? How do they get to the 5-3? And Arizona, Iowa
shortest
State.
Shortest answer I've ever given you, Jeremy.
And Texas
like
Tech, I know, right?
Shortest answer I've ever given you.
I know, I wasn't used to it. It caught me off guard.
No, I think those home games are really important. I think that, you know, I think obviously you got to execute and you got to win the winnables, the games that everybody expects that you're going to win. Going to Arizona is going to be really difficult. But Iowa State at home, that's a game where you win. Man, that changes a lot of vibes. That changes a lot of feelings about it. Texas Tech at home, get back game from the game down in Lubbock. That changes a lot of the feeling about it. So, like, if you can win those two games, I think that obviously would change things. It also would help your seeding line immensely because of just the strength of this conference. And it also changes your path in the Big 12 tournament. Now, I don't know how important the Big 12 tournament is. I mean, you look at how the NCAA selection committee has viewed conference tournaments. They haven't put an overemphasis on it. In fact, they've devalued a lot of it. So I'm not sure if going through the wear and tear in Kansas City is going to change how people view BYU as far as the selection committee goes. But at the end of the day, it really does matter about the pop-up on that bracket, where you're at, who you're playing, and what does your path look like? You know, if there's teams that fit stylistically to the teams in which, you know, BYU would do well against, then that's great. But if you see, like, if you're a 4 or a 5 and you're on the side of Michigan, well, good luck. You know, I mean, I just don't think that's a matchup right now that I would look at and say, well, BYU's going to beat Michigan. But there's other teams that you could find in that I'd go, okay, well, that's a pretty good matchup for you. So it all comes down to those type of things. And I think that over the next month, we're going to see it play out. And I think that if you're a BYU fan, what you're wanting to see is a team that gets off the bus ready to play. I think that you want to see them buy in defensively and become much more disruptive at the defensive end of the floor and not allow their opponents to execute at such a high clip and feel comfortable in their way that they execute and being able to drive the basketball and score in the paint with the ease that we've seen some of these teams this year, even in wins that BYU's had, have success at getting to the rim.
We're talking to ESPN Sean Farnham. Sometimes he gives a super short answer, and most of the time it's a long answer. I want to ask you about
– I like your sweatshirt today, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Shout out Ty's desk. I want to talk about, realistically, what's the highest and lowest seed that you think BYU could still get at this point?
I think the highest would be a 4. I think the lowest would probably be a 7. That's a pretty big spectrum. But – the Big 12, and the reason why it's so large is because the Big 12 offers that, right? Like the Big 12 will offer you quality wins, quad one victories throughout. And so then it gives you an opportunity to elevate in the committee's eyes. You know, you need the quad 1A wins. You'll have the opportunity to get some of those as this season progresses still. And it's going to be important to grab a couple of those. But it's also making sure that you avoid the bad losses. And this conference really doesn't create too many bad loss situations based on the overall strength of it. So I could see it anywhere from a 4 to a 7. There's no way you get to an 8 or 9, in my opinion, just based on the strength of schedule, the quality of wins in which BYU has already had. But again, if you have a 7, that means you're facing a 10 seed and then potentially a 2 seed in that second game to try to get to the Sweet 16. Your path becomes a lot more difficult.
What if BYU doesn't have a quad 1A win on Selection Sunday, but they have a ton of quad 1Bs? Do you feel like BYU's still kind of a 5 seed potential?
Yeah, I mean, they're fine in that regard. I mean, the quad 1, quad 1A, quad 1B, like it, there's a lot of teams around the country that don't have and will not have as many quad 1 wins. And that's based obviously on opportunity as well. But it's the opportunity to win those quad 1B games. And those are good opponents, really good opponents. I always often look at it too, wins against the field. What does your wins against the field look like? And there's a lot of other teams around the country that don't have nearly as many opportunities and will not have as many wins against the field as BYU does. And so all of those things will be factored in. I think that's why the metrics still love them. I think that's why they're at 20 right now, I believe in KenPom, if I'm not mistaken. And again, with their strength of schedule remaining, I mean, there's a lot of things that can change here moving forward. You look at the strengths of schedule, like Arizona going into last night's game against Kansas had the number one strength of schedule remaining in all of college basketball. BYU, I think, was around 52, if I'm not mistaken, as far as strength of schedule still remaining. It's weird that you look at it because Houston and Texas are towards the bottom of the Big 12. They have some of the easiest schedules remaining in the Big 12. So how does that play out as the season progresses as far as seeding for Kansas City and as far as the ability for those teams to get wins and continue to stack up and improve their seed line? And I think that the strength of the conference overall just lifts everybody. Like, you know, like everybody gets lifted this year, like the SEC a year ago. I think that's how the Big 12 is going to be viewed by the NCAA tournament committee because of the success in the out of conference with the 65% win percentage against other power conferences. You know, last year the SEC had 70% win percentage, not that far off. And then you look in conference play and you look at the number of teams that potentially could win a national championship. There's no other conference that has the depth of teams that can win a national championship right now than the Big 12. It's not even close.
It's crazy. Yeah, the top end is wild. Arizona's schedule is unbelievable, like you mentioned. Texas Tech on Saturday, BYU the next Wednesday, Houston the next Saturday, Baylor, Kansas, Iowa State. I mean, that's got to be the toughest haul of anybody. Do you still feel like Arizona's the best team in the Big 12, or do you have Houston, or maybe even Kansas with Darren Peterson?
Well, are you sure that Darren Peterson's going to be available? I'm not. You know, like, look, and we talk about, like, number one pick, and I talked to some NBA scouts, and a lot of scouts feel like Darren Peterson has showed enough, and some of the people I talked to in the last week. But availability is your best ability, and I'm not sold on Darren Peterson being the last, you can't last 30 games, how do you last 82? Like, that's a legitimate question for me. And to me, one of the other things that I look at in that regard is that Houston is a team right now I think is good enough to win a national championship. Like, Houston's ability to compete at an elite level, and their defense travels. They have the best winning percentage on the road of any team in college basketball over the last 2 years. And there's a reason for that. And they've got experience, and they've got freshmen that are really starting to come their own. And it's not just Fleming's. I mean, Sanak has been outstanding for them, averaging over 14 points a game over the last three contests. That's going to continue to help them offensively and limit the number of droughts that they have. And I think that's going to benefit them in the NCAA tournament. But my concerns for Arizona is their inability to shoot the three-point shot. When they fall behind, it's easy to play out in front. And they do a really good job of playing out in front. And they apply pressure at the rim. They get to the free throw line. But if those two things don't happen, and we didn't see those two things happen at Kansas, they're not a great three-point shooting team. And it makes things a little bit more difficult for them. So I think that they're elite enough to win a national championship, but I think they also need to cylinders and their windows a little bit thinner. But I put Houston as one of the best teams in the country right now and the favorite out of the Big 12 to win a national championship.
Can't wait to watch the next couple weeks. And, February and March is going to be awesome and into April. Sean, as always, thanks for the time, man.
You, my friend, are the very best. And just tell that other guy that.
I might add that to my LinkedIn. I'm not sure. Women's basketball will look to get back in the win column tonight. Audie Crooks, Iowa State in the house. Coverage begins 9 Eastern on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio.
Sean taking a shot at us? I'm shocked.
If it's not you, it's me.
Up next, which Cougar was given Big 12 honors this week? And BYU men's volleyball picks up another dub. Tell you more about that in headlines on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's get to today's headline, sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Big game, as we've been talking about. Men's hoops on the road in Waco tonight for the unwelcome Robert Wright III. Back to Waco game. Cougars looking to snap the four-game losing streak. 3.5-point favorites over Da Bears. Pre-game coverage available 6 Eastern on BYU Radio. Game on The Deuce, ESPN2 and BYU Radio at 7 Eastern.
A.J. DeBonsa named the Big 12 Newcomer of the Week for the fourth time this season. DeBonsa also named the Big 12 Starting Five for an eighth time this season. In his two games last week, A.J. averaged 32 points, shot a blistering 65% from the floor, adding 6 rebounds and 4 assists per contest.
Somewhere Ace is saying, you can still get more rebounds. Men's basketball drops to number 22 in the latest AP poll, lowest ranking of the season so far. Still in the top 25. Big 12 has 6 teams in the top 25, 4 teams in the top 10. Kansas is going to climb after last night's win. Joe Lenardi's latest bracketology, Cougars drop from a 5 to a 6, their lowest projected seed so far this year.
On the Big 12 men's basketball scoreboard, 9th-ranked Kansas hands number 1 Arizona their first loss of the season, and the Jayhawks do it without Darren Peterson. 82-78 in a rocking Allen Fieldhouse last night. Flory Badunga led the way for the Jayhawks with 23 points and 10 rebounds. Tonight's games include, of course, BYU at Baylor, 3rd-ranked Houston at Utah, 5th-ranked Iowa State at TCU, and Oklahoma State at Arizona State.
Coming off back-to-back losses, women's basketball looking to get right tonight against Iowa State. ESPN's Charlie Cream currently has BYU as one of the next 4 out in his latest bracketology. 9 Eastern time, you can watch it on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio.
Ooh, feels like a must-win for the tournament resume. BYU men's volleyball picked up their 5th straight win last night after sweeping Merrimack. The Cougars, now 9-2 on the season, moved up to number 7 in the new ABCA poll. BYU returns home for a 2-game set against Menlo College this Friday and Saturday.
They're the Oaks, so it's a big week for Oaks on campus at BYU, if you know what I mean. Women's golf ended its 36-hole day in 4th place at 13 over at the Thunderbird Intercollegiate yesterday in Tucson. MJ Berrigan finished Monday as the top-performing Coug, tied for 5th at 2-under. Final round of play underway as we speak.
And BYU men's tennis takes on Stonehill College in the first of 4 straight road matches in Boston. The Cougars trying to remain undefeated after starting the season 4-0.
The Skyhawks, by the way.
The Skyhawks of Stonehill College.
Just looked at them.
Up next, Parker Goff and Bryker Herdsman of BYU Baseball in studio to preview the new dawn of a baseball season. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Yes.
And gone!
10 to third, and he slides in safe.
This one to left field, hit back, and it's gone!
It's a double for Hertzman. It's a three-run home run for Parker Goff.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Station. We are live in Studio B, and it is time for BYU baseball talk in the Cougar Council Room as we welcome in Parker Goff and Bryker Herdsman of the Batcats. Great to have both of you with us. Let's go ahead and start with just the general feeling of a new baseball season. A question for both of you. What are the emotions like today?
We're excited to get going. Obviously, it's been a long off season, but we've done a lot of work, and so we're ready to get started again. We're excited.
How are you feeling, Bryker?
Good. Yeah. I think we're all just excited to play just somebody else. I think we spent a lot of time beating up on each other, so we're excited to take it to somebody else. So.
Yeah.
Can't Bryker, help but see the mustaches.
Yeah, so I was going to say.
Same thing. What's going on?
There's a few guys. You guys?
There's a few, yeah.
Any coaches?
Not yet.
No Adam Law?
Not
Trent
yet.
Trent Pratt can grow a mean mustache.
That's
what we've heard. We're hoping, like, we can see one.
Who has the best mustache on the team? Players-wise.
I heard he's up there for sure.
Parker got a good one. Brock Snow has a pretty good one.
Yeah, that's true.
There's really probably three of us that – there's not very many of us that have them.
The men's volleyball team, like, a bunch of them shaved their heads, but not everybody. So it's kind of like everyone gets asked, like, why'd you do it, but why didn't you do it? It's a team thing. Okay, with the new season, there's a freshness, a vibe. They say the beginning of the year is unique that way. What are you most excited to start with the beginning of the season, Parker?
Honestly, I'm kind of excited to just get on the road and hang out with the boys, win some baseball games. So I'm excited to just hang out.
Yeah. Western Kentucky is the first road trip. Let's go.
Yeah.
You been to Kentucky, Bryker?
No.
First time? Let's go.
First time.
That's awesome.
Bryker, where did this team improve the most in the offseason, do you feel?
Yeah. Over the fall, we've kind of, as a culture, we've tried to set some expectations for ourselves as a team. So we've talked a lot about two things, of being relentless and also being very disciplined. And so as a team, that is kind of our goal. Like, all 40 of us, or 35, as many as there are, we're all just trying to establish a culture of being relentless and being very disciplined. We think that, you know, as a team, if we can do that, we're going to be really, 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 really good as far as winning comes. So that's kind of our big goal and what we've been pushing for as a team.
There was some nice momentum at the end of the year, beating Arizona State in the Big 12 tournament. How do you use that to leverage it into something positive to start this year?
Just kind of keep playing off of how we finished up. Obviously, that was a big win for us, and so we're just kind of trying to keep the momentum.
How has the new indoor facility, and for those that don't know, BYU's got some nice new amenities that you're working with. How has that impacted your off-season training and helping you get ready for a new season?
Yeah, it's been great. I think just being able to come and have the resources that we know that are going to help us exceed on the field and just be better collectively as a team has helped, like, a ton. Just the confidence in knowing that we can prepare as much as we can just at the field.
Sure.
Practicing.
Yeah.
So.
There's some new seats, too, for fans, which is cool, on top of it, let alone what you guys use.
So what's in the facility, for those that don't know?
So we've got four cages, and one of them's kind of dedicated to, like, the pitchers. So they have all the – they call it TrackMan. It tracks all the data for pitchers. So they're throwing bullpens in there and doing all their stuff. And then the other three cages are mostly for the hitters. We have what's called hit tracks, and that's kind of like shows you where the ball goes, how hard you hit it, kind of stuff like that. All kinds of machines, baseballs, all the stuff we need to get better. So it's been nice.
Are you just launch velo and, you're just assessing everything of, like, I'm not going to be Joey Gallo, but maybe?
Yeah, we definitely try, right?
Well, golf uses this technology and has for a long time.
Yeah, TrackMan, absolutely, with indoor stuff. That's super cool. And basketball has kind of their thing with how their shots are, where on the rim and how deep and whatnot. For one dedicated to just the pitchers, as a catcher, how is that helping you guys right now?
It's been really nice. We can use the TrackMan to gather data and make adjustments if we need. And a lot of guys have developed new pitches using the TrackMan, so it's been awesome.
As a catcher, is there data that you get from that too?
Not really. I think on the field, because we have one on the field too, that can track more stuff for like the whole game. But the TrackMan in the cages is mostly just for like tracking all the pitchers.
So how do you work on your framing? You're like, okay, I was this close. I can move this far. That guy, I can go 3 inches over here.
Yeah, it just we use the TrackMan on the field to kind of just track all that stuff. And then we have all of our cameras too. We turn them on for scrimmages, and you can kind of just watch all the receiving, all the blocking, all the throwing. So.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know, Wally Joyner's playing here with like a chain link fence. He doesn't have TrackMan. You know, this is sweet. That's great.
Advancement, yes. Parker Goff and Bryker Herdsman are on BYU Sports Nation. BYU picked to finish 13th out of 14 Big 12 teams. So I know that on the surface doesn't seem like a lot, but maybe it is something more to both of you in motivating you and the team this season. How do you view those preseason projections for the Big 12? Bryker, we'll start with you.
I think, like I was talking about just in the fall, we talked about being relentless and being very disciplined, and, it's easy to get caught up in maybe where we rank, but it's never the same towards the end of the season. And so for us as a team, we're just trying to stay focused on being relentless every single day and being disciplined. And so I think we're very hopeful that we're going to flip that pretty quick just by sticking to our approach and our plan and just going out and executing. So
does this bother you at all? I saw who was 14th, by the way. I think we all did.
Okay.
Just want to point that out.
Does this bother you at all, Parker?
It's definitely, you can definitely use it as motivation. And I think that's kind of what we're doing going into practice, just using it to kind of motivate us to get better every day and prove people wrong. That's what we're hoping to do.
Your mom played softball at Utah State in Utah, and your dad played baseball at Utah.
Yeah.
When did they first, and are they wearing BYU gear now?
It took a while. Yeah, especially my dad. I had to work hard to get him in some BYU stuff, but
that's awesome.
He rocks it now. He rocks it with pride now.
That's great. And Bryker, you on your bio it says you always carry chapsticks with you. Ty Detmer did that too as well. Always in his pocket.
Yeah.
Are you like between pitches? Between how often are we using it? You know, what's the role of the chapstick?
Is it a superstition?
Yeah. You know, to be honest, there's not very much to it. I don't even know that I necessarily use it during the games.
You just want it there.
It was something my brother did when he was in college. And so for me, it just kind of, I was like, you know what, that's pretty cool. I'm going to do that too. And so I try to keep it with me as much as I can. And I can't even say that I really use it. But
you never like smashed it, catching a ball in the outfield? You're like, oh man.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It won't twist.
It's inevitable. Did you ever call your brother and ask him to bring you your chapstick a la Napoleon Dynamite? I'm going to take that as a no.
Okay.
Great stuff. We're thrilled for both of you and for BYU baseball as you push into the next season of Big 12 competition. We're going to give you the BYU Sports Nation Karma right now. Not sure if you're familiar with the BYUSN Karma game and how it works, but when you come on the show, you get the Karma, and you're already great players, but this is going to help you play at an even another level, okay?
It's going to be great this weekend.
It's very documented
Western
through
12 Kentucky,
years of this show.
Four-game series you can listen on BYU Radio. Let's go, baby.
Good luck to
you
guys.
Good luck, boys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it. When we come back, wrap up our show by hearing more from you on if a win by BYU men's basketball at Baylor will officially put the Cougars back on track. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back with our question of the day. Would a win over Baylor put BYU men's basketball back on track?
BYU for the dub at BYU Insider says, if BYU cannot beat 13-10 Baylor, who's NIT bound, then we have 99 problems. Let's go. It's quad one, but yeah, Baylor struggle.
Baylor's better than Oklahoma State.
In net, at least.
All right, our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Careers, built for victory. And it comes in from at Souls33, who says, nah, I'm not sold yet. BYU needs to go 2-0 this week, then pick up our signature win going 1-1 at Arizona or home versus Iowa State. 20-7, I would say that's back on track.
Yeah, still pacing for a 4 or 5 seed.
So if you go 3-1 in the next four, then you're back on track.
Yeah.
Okay, today's Rising Shoutout presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
This is as big of a devotional as there is. Coming up on BYU TV in a few minutes, a packed Marriott Center for President Dallin H. Oaks, president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Let's go, baby.
How amazing is that sight? Fantastic.
Are there two seats on that front row for us, or what?
Our thanks to today's guests, Sean Farnham, Parker Goff, and Brecker Herdsman.
Sorry to Dennis, ran out of time.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Trevin Nell. Enjoy the devotional next. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Go Cougs.